I always try to think of something to kind of lead me into the sermon. Got nothing for you. So we're just going to go right into it. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, if you would. This morning we're going to, again, talk about a leper. It seems like sometimes I get on a topic, not intentional, but it seems like I get on a topic that we talked last week or a couple weeks ago about the four lepers that sat outside the gate and had a decision to make. Well, today we're going to talk about a man named Naaman. And so if you'd read along with me, we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 5, 2 Kings. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus,' and said, 'The girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of leprosy.' And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharphar, the rivers in Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all of his aides and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God on the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take this gift from your servant.'" Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we know that it's all your word. We can't pick and choose pieces. We can't take what we want and discard what we don't want. We thank you, Lord, for every part of it. We ask now, Lord, that you take this part. Help us to apply it to our lives today that we might be more of what you desire us to be, God. Lord, we are so short of what you desire. Lord, we lift it to you and know that you will move. You promised you would. And we claim that promise in the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this man, Naaman, there are so many things in this passage that I feel like God is wanting to, or he showed me over the past week and a half. And I want to share them with you this morning. First off, let's look at this man, Naaman. He's a commander of the army of the king of Syria. He is great. He is an honorable man. He is a mighty man of valor. The Lord had given him many victories in Syria. He is a good man. He is as good a man as you could get. He did all things right as far as we know. He's honorable. He's a man of valor. He is a good and even says great man. But he's a leper. Now, we talked a couple weeks ago, like I said, there are different types of leprosy in the Bible. And since he is still a commander of the army, he's not cast out into an outer compound where a lot of times lepers were. There's the thought that maybe this wasn't a terrible leprosy. But over the past week and a half, I've read in a couple different places that if it was a pagan society like Syria, they didn't care. A leper was not cast out. He didn't have to stay outside the village in a pagan society. You do what you want in a pagan society and nobody cares. But in the law of Moses, God gave them the law that the leper should be separated. Well, it only makes sense so you don't contaminate the whole group. Man, there's a small sermon right there. Separate what contaminates the whole body. But we're not going to go there today. This good man, great man, is still a leper. I talk to people, I've said it myself over time, that's a good man. You know, I preach funerals of people, and when you talk to somebody and they say, so-and-so passed away, and he was a good man. He was a good man, or she was a really good woman. They say those things, and it's true. But being good is not enough. Being great and honorable, did that make him perfect? No, he still had leprosy. Sometimes we think because we're good, because we're an honorable person, we're a trustworthy person, we do good things, that's good enough. This man still had leprosy. And if you think you're good enough to get into heaven, you're still a sinner. And if you're a Christian and you think you're good enough, you're still a sinner. You're just saved by grace. We need to understand good is not good enough. We need to understand that there is still sin in our life. Too many times we are okay with that. I'm saved. I'm okay. I know I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And so if that sin's in my life, I'll get by with it. That's not what He wants. He wants me to get rid of all the garbage that contaminates the rest of my life. He wants me to get rid of the garbage that can separate me from Him. This was a good man, but he's still a leper. Every single person on the face of this earth is still a sinner. You're just in one of two categories. You're going to pay for that sin, or Jesus already did. You've got to make that choice. That's where we're at. In our society, role models, people like that. I was watching this week the Little League World Series. Some of those kids are bigger than me. They're supposed to be 12 years old. I think they need to check some of those birth certificates. I think the ink is still wet. But either way, it's one of those things where they have their role model. Man, my favorite athlete is Steph Curry, or my favorite athlete is Patrick Mahomes, or my favorite, you know, person are good people. People look up to us. We want people to look up to us because we're good people. Good people still go to hell. I don't know how else to say it. We need to understand that this man, though he was great and honorable, still had leprosy. We know that he goes on, and he was a good and honorable man, and in that society it was okay. And when they would raid Israel, they would bring back captives, and they brought back this little girl, and she was working in his house. And this little girl knew that he had leprosy, and she tells his wife, said, "Man, if my master would just go to Samaria and find this prophet, he would heal him." Why does she even care? This guy brought, he took her from her family probably, or maybe killed her family and took her. We don't know. But he brought her, kidnapped her, brought her back, and then made her a slave in his household. And she turns around and says, "This is what he needs to do to be healed." So here is this great and honorable man, and he gets word from a slave girl that is captive in his house. And she says, "If you'll do this, you can be healed." How bad do you think this man wanted to be healed? How irritating must this leprosy have been? We don't know. But he's willing to go to the king of Syria and say, "A slave girl in my house said I could go here and be healed." So you're listening to a slave girl in your house for advice about your leprosy? He wanted to be healed. He was going to do whatever he could. He'd probably already done so many things trying to be healed. But hey, here's another option. I have another chance to be healed of my leprosy. And so he goes to the king and he tells the king that if I go to Samaria, I can be healed. So not only does he go to the king, but he goes to the king, he gets a letter and he heads to Samaria. And he goes to the king there and he takes this letter. So now he went to two kings saying, "This little girl in my house, this little slave girl in my house says if I do this, I'll be healed." So he went to two kings, and not only that, he's traveled from Syria down to Samaria. And so he's done a lot trying to be saved. He's pretty desperate. How desperate are you? Because, like I said, too many times we're okay as Christians just to let it ride. "I'm not very desperate. I know my eternity's set." How desperate am I at living the life that God wants me to live? To get that garbage out of my life so that I might reach someone else. That I might be able to have God use me to change somebody else's eternity. How desperate am I? Not as desperate as he was. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you haven't got to that point yet where you're desperate. You haven't got to that point where you see, "Everything I'm doing seems to be okay. I'm great and I'm honorable and everybody likes me and I'm popular." Because you haven't acknowledged you're still a leper. You're still a sinner. When you do that, and when you realize everything else that you've tried, everything else that man has said, "Do this and it'll be okay. Do this and it will work out for you." When you realize that's garbage, then and only then will you be desperate enough to travel from standing up to down on your knees before the Lord and asking Him to heal you. This man was desperate. Sometimes I think we need to be more desperate. Society doesn't want you to be desperate. Society says, "It's all okay. Smile and be nice. Somebody needs to be nice." Well, that's true. But somebody needs to get in your face and tell you you're dying and going to hell. Well, that's rude. It may be rude, but the only reason I do it is because I don't want you doing that. I don't want you going there because I care about you. Sometimes rudeness is love disguised. There was always this debate back when I taught youth about truth and honesty. Well, if a girl comes up and says, "How's my hair look?" you want the truth or you want me to be nice? You don't even say that. You change the subject just like that. Because sometimes we just think, oh, we ought to just be nice. Because you and I are so nice to people, they're headed to a terrible place. Because when people will confront you and share with you that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, the reason they're doing that is because of the love of God is flowing through them. And they care enough about you not to let you go there. That person that wants to tell you, oh, everything's okay, your hair looks good, the people that are saying that don't care that you're going to be laughed at when everybody else sees your hair. That person that comes up to you and says, Brother Steve, your zipper's undone. I checked earlier, so don't look. I did. I had, because I knew this was coming in. And so that person that comes up and is willing to say, your zipper's undone, or you got a little bit of food on your cheek, you got something on your shirt. Why does that person do that? Because they care about you. They don't want you having anything wrong with you. They want to help you. They don't want you to go through a situation that you shouldn't have to go through. When you share Jesus Christ with somebody, they may say, well, you're not agreeing with what I'm living. You're not agreeing with my lifestyle. No, I'm agreeing with Jesus that your lifestyle is not going to get you where you think it's going to get you. And until you get desperate about that, you're not going to care to share. And until that person that's lost gets desperate enough to realize there's only one hope, it's not in Samaria, it's in heaven, then and only then is that desperation going to cause you to move. It's going to cause you to go to whoever you have to find out. If I have to go before a king, if I have to go before a slave girl, if I have to travel to Samaria, wherever I have to go, I know I'm desperate and I need help. The problem is so many Christians out there today don't acknowledge that they need help. We're not desperate enough to realize that you and I can't make it through this life alone. There's a reason for the church. And God has that for us. The thing is, I can be a Lone Ranger Christian, but I won't be an effective one. We need to understand that at some point, like this man, we need to get desperate. Now, that doesn't mean this man's okay yet, so let's look at the next thing. When he went to the king said, yeah, go on, I'll give you a letter. And he said, here, take 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. The clothing wasn't for him. It wasn't like he was going to need to change that many times. He was going to give that as a gift. Because, man, if you're going there for them to heal you of your leprosy, you're going to have to pay gold and silver and material things. That tells you what that man knew about healing. About the healing that came from God. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't give things away and trade for it to people. Too many people in our life today, in our world today, want to think they can earn their salvation. And if I just do enough, whether it's good things or good deeds or whatever, if I just do enough, I will earn my salvation. That's impossible. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot deserve your salvation. Your salvation comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, are you saved in no other way. That's where it comes down to. This man, he's taking gold and silver because I'm going down there and I'm going to buy my healing. Doesn't work. There's nothing you can do to purchase healing that comes from God. There's nothing you can do to purchase healing that comes from God. Non-Christian, He's already purchased it for you. Christian, understand you still need healing. Wherever you're at, you still need healing. You still have the leprosy. You still have the sin in your life. It may be small, but it's still there. Don't be satisfied with even the littlest bit. If I was going to, and I've used this before, but it just come in, and I'm going to use it again. If I was going to make you chocolate chip cookies, and I was going to put just a little bit of dog feces in there, just a little bit, would you still want those cookies? I had one kid shake his head yes. I'm not going to call names, but I'll talk to you later because we've got issues. But this is the deal. Just a little bit affects the whole thing. The New Testament says just a little bit of leaven affects the whole loaf. Just a little bit of sin affects your whole life. And no matter how good you are, you will never get rid of it. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ will cleanse that from your life. So this man, good man, but a leper, travels, brings gold. He gets there, takes the letters of the king, and Elisha says, "Send him to me." So he goes to Elisha. And man, here he's this great and honorable person. And he's thinking, all I've got to do is just go there, and he's going to come out, and he's going to wave his hand over me, and we're going to have this big ceremony because he's going to roll out the red carpet for Naaman to come in, and he's going to take care of everything because I'm Naaman. Man, I've come to your country, and I've hauled people off. I've got power over you. You don't realize who I am. And so he's thinking, when I come in that place, there's going to be all this pomp and circumstance because I'm Naaman, and he's going to wave his hands and call on his God and heal me. Well, something happens here with him that is going to keep this man's healing away for a little longer. He's mad because that doesn't happen. Says he becomes furious, and it comes to a point where it's even a rage, and he went away. Because it didn't turn out like he thought it should. So many times we think life should turn out the way we think it should. But our pride hinders the cure. That's what happened. Man, he walked there and they said, Elisha sent out the servant. He said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be clean. But his pride would not let him do that. When God calls you and says, all you've got to do is surrender to me, ask me to forgive you of your sins, and make me the Lord of your life. I'm the Lord of my life. My pride keeps God from moving in my life. For several years before I accepted Christ, that was my deal. And I talked to people. I'm not done living my life yet. I'm going to go ahead and do the things I want to do. And then someday, I will accept Christ. Someday I will surrender to Him. One person I talked to 33 years ago, he's still not got there yet. He's still waiting. He's still having his fun. He's still doing his things because he will not surrender his pride to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Naaman would not surrender his pride to let just a servant, not even the prophet, come out. The prophet didn't even come out. The prophet sent his servant out. I deserve better than this. And too many times you and I as Christians, we feel like, God, hey, I'm on your side. You should be helping me out a little more than you are. And our pride hinders God from using us in His kingdom. Pride still affects all of us. The same way it affected Naaman. Our pride hinders God from using us. Our pride hinders God from saving us if we're not willing to surrender to Him. So if Naaman stops here, he goes away in a rage, still has leprosy. If we stop this message right now, and we're just not satisfied with what God's doing, we're not satisfied with what His Word's telling us to do, because it's not really what I think it should be, then what happens is I still go away as a leper. But verse 13 said, and his servants, not the same little girl, but still his servants came and said, you know, if this guy had told you to go and do something really great, you would have probably done it. So why not just go jump in the river 7 times? And something happens with this man. A change begins. Because he goes from being so prideful and so upset that it's not going his way to the fact that a servant reasons with him and says, all you've got to do is just obey. It's pretty simple. You don't have to do anything great. Just go get in the river. That's pretty simple. All you've got to do is go wash and be clean. And something happened in his heart. So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan. And his flesh was restored and he was clean. He humbled himself and he obeyed. Two of the toughest things for us as Christians to do. I've already accepted Christ. I'm following Him. And so, at least I'm not like a person that had... At least I'm not like... I just said I'm better than that person. Humble yourself. There but for the grace of God go I. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd already be in hell. And so would you. The bottom line is, as Christians, we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves to realize that this life is not about us. Well, I'm living a pretty good life for God. No, you're not. If there's anything good out of your life or my life, it's because of the grace of God. Because you and I are the ones that mess it up. We have to humble ourselves to realize that this life is not about me. I'm supposed to live my life to glorify God. He is supposed to be the Lord of my life. He is the boss of my life. Humble. Because if you never humble, that's a heart problem. If you never humble, then you will never obey. If he had not humbled himself, I guarantee you he'd have never ended up in the river. He would have never ended up in the river if he still thought he deserved everything that he was going to get. Well, he was going to get everything he deserved. It just wasn't what he was thinking. And you and I are going to get a lot of things that we deserve in this life because we think we deserve better and we don't. But praise God, I'm not going to get that eternal punishment that I deserve because of the grace of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So he takes and he humbles himself and he goes. And this man who was so great and honorable and deserved to have all this pomp and circumstance in the healing, when he comes out clean, he gets all of his aides together and they all come and they stand before Elisha. And he says, I know that there's a God in Israel like none other on the earth. He didn't say, man, Elisha, you're a great man. Elisha didn't even come out. He didn't say, man, your servant was amazing. with the information he gave me. It wasn't about Elisha and it wasn't about the servant. It was about the power of God that was given to a leper. It is about the power of God that's given to a sinner. It is about the power of God that's given to sinners. He takes all of his aides. He wants them all to see this. And they stand before Elisha. He says, "There's no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." I come in here and I was this great king and I had ransacked your country and I had taken people away. But now, I'm your servant. It's a hard place to be. That's why most of us never get there. So this man, the leper that got desperate, that tried to purchase his healing, pride kept it from happening for a while, finally humbled himself and was healed. And his heart was changed. That's what's got to happen today. If you walked in those doors and you don't think you needed anything, man, you need to be humbled. If you walked in those doors and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, then you need to be humbled. You need to become desperate. I need to become desperate to know that I have to live for Jesus Christ. He hasn't promised me tomorrow, so I've got to live for Him today. I've got to be desperate. You've got to be desperate. To want Him to be the Lord of your life. To want your life to be about Him. I'm going to close with this. It started out, all of this. Everything that happened, all the change that happened to Naaman. The fact that his servants noticed. The fact that Elisha's servant noticed. And the fact that both kings heard about this. All started in one place. A little servant girl believed in the power of God. Well, you know, that's normal. That was what God did, right? Let me see if I can find this verse real fast. I should have had it marked, but I don't, so forgive me. But it's Luke chapter 4, verse 27. If you want to jot that down. This is Jesus speaking in Luke, and he's referring to this. He says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except the Naaman the Syrian." There were a lot of lepers in Israel, and they weren't being healed. But this girl knew that her God had the power. Not because she had seen it happen, because that verse from Jesus said there were a lot of people that weren't healed, except for Naaman. Why was Naaman healed? Because the faith of this little girl, the faith of this servant, probably as strong as anybody in the Bible, I would say. Because you and I testify most times because of what God has done. I've heard about it from somebody else and I testify. Or it's happened in my life and I testify. This little girl, it tells us, there's all these other people and none of them have been healed. I don't care if God's healed him or not. I know my God can. If you just go and talk to this prophet, he'll heal you. The message of a servant to go out and tell people because they believe. So I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe your God can change this town? Do you believe your God can change this state, this country, this world? This was a complete different country. She had enough faith that God would move in another country. She believed in her God enough to tell somebody that she probably didn't even like because he had kidnapped her. Do you believe enough to tell people that you don't like? Do you believe enough to tell people that are your boss? Do you believe enough to tell people? Why did she tell him? Why did the other servants tell him? Just go wash and be clean. Man, if only my master would go to Samaria, he'd be healed. In that statement, we understand she cared. Man, if only my servant would go. If only my master would go, he'd be healed. She cared enough. She believed enough, she cared enough that she was going to share with her boss. That's pretty simple. Do you believe enough in your God to move? Maybe do something He's never done before. Noah, hey, go build an ark. Why? Because it's going to rain. What's that? It had never happened before. Do you believe in your God enough to do something that He's never done before just because He's God and He can? And He loves the people out there. You can believe it and sit right here in a pew. But until you care enough, well, I care about them. I really do. I pray for the people of Ukraine daily. But that's easy for me because I'm not in Ukraine. Do you care enough to share? Because that's where it all starts. That's where everything that happened for Naaman, everything that happened in these two different countries, Syria and Israel, all happened because somebody believed, they cared, and they shared. Go out this week and change a country. But understand, it's not you. Don't get proud and say, hey, I can go out and I believe enough, I can care and I can share. No. You stay humble. But get desperate. Because this world needs people that God will work through. And it's not that God won't work through people, but He wants to work through people that want to make Him the Lord of their life. We want Him as Savior, but we don't want to make Him Lord. And the way I read the Bible, you don't get one without the other. You get one by getting the other. Believe and receive. Oh, I believe in God, and so I receive salvation. Well, that's true. But I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, and I receive Him as the Lord of my life. Whoa. I just wanted the salvation part. That's where a lot of people are. Where are you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for all that You do. Lord, I want to be a servant. I pray You would work through me. I pray You would change me. I pray You would help me to be everything You desire me to be. God, I can't pray that for everybody in here. They've got to do it on their own. But Lord, I want to be what You desire. Lord, change my heart. Change my life. Be glorified and honored. In Your name I pray. Amen.